you're not going to win many games when you're at home and you're shooting less than 65% from the free throw line. That was the first thing that really hurt Vanderbilt last night. 24 of 37 for 64.9% from the free throw line. Another thing, too, is you got to realize there's 40 minutes in a game. So just because you've got the lead with 30 minutes into a contest, you've got to be able to finish these. And this, when you look at Vanderbilt's start with their first four conference games, we're not talking about the toughest portion of their SEC schedule. No, that's what's coming up. And so to be a 9-7 overall, 0-4 in the SEC, and knowing what's ahead, not a good place to be if you're the Commodores.
No, not at all. And you mentioned the free throw shooting. It's really strange because they were a pretty good free throw shooting team in the non-conference. They were about 72%, which isn't great, but it wasn't really an issue. And then when that calendar turned in January and they started league play, they're missing free throws left and right. I think they're shooting about 62% in the four conference games. And that's been really strange because they're getting to the line. They got to the line 37 times against South Carolina last night, but I mean that doesn't work if you're not making them. And then you know, closing out games, I mean, it's the same old story. The South Carolina game last night was just the most brutal of them all, to be up 68-63 after a really, really tough Saban Lee layup. Then Saban Lee runs down the other end of the floor, has a nice blocked shot, the crowd is going crazy. But a young, immature moment that the kid stands over the South Carolina player, taunts him a little bit, and then all heck breaks loose. South Carolina ends the game on 11-3 run. So the youth, the inexperience, the inability to make shots and free throws down the stretch is really killing them right now. And you're right. I mean, it's not a good year to be faltering in the SEC because it's really tough. And you got Mississippi State, Tennessee on the horizon, Oklahoma still coming up in the non-conference. It's going to be a brutal stretch here to end the month.
Other things that stood out as far as last night, and this trend can't continue either. You know, they're getting their bench out, getting outscored by South Carolina significantly last night for the Doors. They managed only 12 points as far as from their bench, getting outscored by South Carolina 28-12 in that situation, and that's a lot when you consider the number of minutes, especially with three of the four bench players for Vanderbilt playing. And to get outscored like that, that's not a good thing either.
No, and Vanderbilt has too much talent to allow that to happen. And from watching this team here the last, 2 months, they're just very inconsistent when it comes to individual play. I mean, last night Aaron Naismith, played exceptionally well. But Matt Ryan was kind of MIA till the end. And then there's been other games where, Matt Ryan's been close to 20 points. But maybe the point guard play has been lacking. They haven't been able to put it all together for 40 minutes. Like I said, the individual talent is there. Some really good pieces on this team. Everybody knows Simi Chatu and Saban Lee and Aaron Naismith, Matt Ryan, Matthew Moyer, the transfer from Syracuse. But night in, night out, it's somewhat different. And that hasn't been a positive. That's turned out to be a negative because not everyone has come to play on any one given night to really lead them, really, since they upset a ranked Arizona State team.
The other thing that stuck out for me as well, when you look at the fact that South Carolina committed only 12 turnovers, Vanderbilt credited with only two steals the entire game last night, and that's another area. You're going to, especially at home, you have to force the other team into making more mistakes. You've got to, force them to turn the ball over. You've got to create some steals and be active when, especially with the other team, is passing the ball around. And that's going to be a big issue moving forward with Mississippi State, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Kentucky looming.
Vanderbilt statistically is one of the worst teams in the country at total steals, forcing turnovers. They're just not a team that is very active on the defensive end when it comes to creating loose balls and then knocking the ball away. And that's a little bit disappointing, too, again, with the individual talent we mentioned, with the length and the athleticism and the size that roster has. They haven't been able to get their hands on a lot of balls, and that hurts their game overall because they're such a great team in transition. They're so fast and they're so quick. And when they get out and run, they're nearly unstoppable. But when you're not getting turnovers, you're not getting steals, you can't do that. And when the other team's making shots, you can't do that as well. So they have to figure out a way to start playing some more aggressive, better defense to get up in teams' face, to knock the ball loose. I mean, that's only going to help in the long run to get out in transition and really put some points on the board.
I don't know about you, but since the loss, I mean, you can just see the reaction as far as social media. And it was already bad, but now it's to the point where it's almost like the diehards even are already counting the days down to when Tim Corbin and the Vanderbilt baseball squad takes the diamond.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, 0-3 with a loss to Kentucky was okay. You know, they're still young. 0-4 with a loss to South Carolina at home, and the way it happened to melt there in the last 2 minutes, you know, has really got the torches and pitchforks out. But, you know, I will say I don't think I've given up on that Vanderbilt team. I mean, they're not going to win the regular season championship. But I still think.
Wait. Can we quote you on that one? I think this is a newsbreaker right there. This is a breaking news story.
What's that Twitter account? Old Takes Exposed. You can put me on there. I'll go on the record as saying. But you know that the team is, like I said, they're so young and there's so much talent. They haven't been blown out. I mean, they've lost these four conference games by an average of 10 points. They've lost the last two by an average of 6. They've pretty much hung with every team they played, even the Georgia loss, which was by 19. I mean, they were in that one real late in the second half. So, you know, I think they're going to continue to improve. They're not going to give up. You know, Bryce Drew said after the game last night, he's not coddling them. You know, he's going to be real tough on them in practice, and the guys are hurting. So, you know, I think they're going to continue to contend and compete. And maybe by the end of February, beginning of March, they'll be able to make their way into the top half of those standings.
And what's your thoughts about that? I mean, because, you know, I've learned, I mean, I'm sorry, maybe it's just the part, the cynic in me, just because somebody tells me something as far as someone in authority, I'm still like analyzing what that person said and making sure I can fully take in and from a believability standpoint. I mean, you think that's true? Or if so, then what is the issue?
I think there's a couple issues at play. One, I agree with Bryce Drew. There is no real leadership on that Vanderbilt team right now. I mean, Simi Sola-Chitu is just kind of this very quiet player. Saban Lee and Max Evans at the point guard spot, not really demonstrative in their play. And they're just looking for someone. I mean, Joe Toy, the team's only senior, kind of a gentle giant down the post. I mean, he's not really a guy to take. They got to find someone to step up and be a leader. And Bryce Drew has said that publicly, you know, in press conferences. So you have to believe he has said that to his team, that he's really, really wanting someone to step up. And then, like we mentioned before, the youth and inexperience, at some point it can't be an excuse anymore because freshmen turn into sophomores and sophomores turn into juniors late in the year. But I do believe Bryce Drew. I mean, I think he understands what he has. I think he understands that nobody in the SEC is going to feel sorry for him. No one in Nashville is going to feel sorry for him. Maybe other coaches around the country say, man, I can't believe, you know, they lost their best player. That's real tough. But come game time, that's not going to stop them from blowing them out of the water. So I think Bryce Drew understands what he has to do to get that thing turned around, and I think he's going to do everything in his power to make that happen.
All right, here's the thing. I've been around teams that were 4-24, but they had leadership. They didn't have talent, but they had leadership, and that's the reason why they won four games, honestly. You're not trying to discover leadership. Here we are in mid-January, already well into your conference play. You're not looking around trying to discover leadership now. This is what you do in the offseason. And it's not something you point, you know, so, okay, you're going to be the leader. That's not how it works. But you have to help facilitate who that leadership is in the offseason, not in the second week of January once conference play begins.
I agree. I mean, you're exactly right. And so Vanderbilt and Bryce Drew are clearly faced with a problem because they had that leader, obviously, in Darius Garden, like we talked about, but there needed to be someone else, some secondary leader, someone else to step up. Even when Darius Garland went down, someone had to step up, and that hasn't happened. And, you know, I'm sure behind the scenes, you know, Bryce Drew and his staff are trying to facilitate that and trying to figure out who that's going to be. I thought it might be Maxwell Evans off the bench. He said after the UK loss in Lexington, it would be him. Aaron Naismith is showing up the past couple games. Maybe it'll turn out to be him, but someone has to do it in the game, not just in practice, not just on campus, You know, last night when the going got tough, someone needed to step up and get the team together and say, let's go. But you know, you can't really force it either, right? I mean, you can't just, like you said, you can't point a finger and say, hey, you're the guy, you're going to be the leader. I mean, someone has to do it on their own. It's incumbent upon those players to step forward and do it themselves.
I mean, I hate to say this is coaching 101, but if you look at a football team, for example, guess what? You have the faces that are leaders of your team, like in Vanderbilt's football situation, Kyle Shurmur was that guy. But you also have a leader of the running backs. You have a leader of the offensive line. You've got a leader as far as your linebacker core. Same thing in basketball. You've got a leader of your guard play. You've got a leader for your inside play. You've got a leader off the bench. You don't just rely on one person to be that guy. And so, once again, we're looking at a situation where, once again, I understand a huge loss with Darius Garland, but, you know, you have to prepare yourself for all scenarios if you're a coaching staff. And you certainly have to do the basics about making sure you've got established leaders of your basketball team, not just relying on one person in all these roles.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you know, hindsight being 2020, but I was talking to another member of the media last night, and you look at the roster now, and maybe it would have been a good idea to have maybe a graduate transfer point guard on the roster this year to maybe help Darius Garland along next year. They have Scottie Pippen Jr. coming in to play point guard, but you're going to need someone else to kind of back him up. And you know, sometimes when you build a roster, obviously in college basketball, you may have guys who you think, you know, that guy's got a lot of moxie and a lot of skill and could become a leader, and maybe he doesn't mesh with the team or it doesn't transpire the way you thought it did. So not a lot of things going right now, obviously, for the Commodores. But again, with the talent they have, with some of the personalities, I look to a guy like Matthew Moyer, who's very emotional, out of Syracuse, Matt Ryan, who's a veteran. They have some guys who definitely need to step up and step forward and take that team by the reins and say, hey, we're better than this. We're better than 0-4. We've got to figure out a way to turn it around.
Let's turn attention to the football program. Somebody who I honestly love covering and always enjoy the one-on-one conversation with him, quarterback Kyle Shurmur, getting a chance to impress scouts, you know, starting, you know, this weekend with the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl that's going to be played in the Rose Bowl. You know, your thoughts, because to me, when you've got somebody with not only the background, knowing who his dad is, the head coach of the Giants, but somebody who, to me, represents all the traits that you would want. What do you feel like, from his game standpoint? To me, you know, he certainly could be a nice addition for some NFL team out there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really like Kyle Shurmur's game. I mean, you and I know he's not going to be a top round pick. He's not going to, you know, wow anybody in terms of the draft board. But what I think his best case scenario is to get drafted or signed as a free agent somewhere, go somewhere as a backup, learn for a couple years, fight for his spot. We know his dad being an NFL coach that he probably knows NFL playbooks inside and out. He played in a system that was very pro-style heavy, and he was surrounded by some pretty good offensive weapons. So I think the argument to be made for him is, okay, you know, look what he did at Vanderbilt, a historically not great football institution, to be honest. You know, what could he do with an NFL roster? What could he do with a lineup of NFL wide receivers and NFL offensive linemen and running backs and tight ends? You know, maybe he gets into that sort of system and he flourishes. I mean, that to me would be the sell for Kyle Shurmur, because he started for 4 years. He's incredibly gifted academically, but he's also very gifted when it comes to a football IQ. And like we said, I mean, he's got some NFL lineage with his father being a coach. So, you know, I don't think it's a guy that you would, you know, spend a first, second, third round draft pick on. But I think when he gets to the later rounds or even free agency, you take a chance on the kid and see what he can do in training camp. He's going to probably be ahead of the game a little bit more than most quarterbacks because of what he's experienced at Vanderbilt and what he knows from his family ties.
Best case for Vanderbilt securing their first conference win. Do you see it over this next four-game stretch? Because I was even bringing up after this four-game stretch against four ranked teams with Mississippi State, then Tennessee, road game to Oklahoma, and then home game against Kentucky. Then they go on the road for back-to-back road games against Missouri and Arkansas. That's not going to be easy either. Best case for the first win for the Commodores in conference play.
You know, I honestly think it could be Saturday against Mississippi State. You know, as much as that loss hurt for Vanderbilt last night against South Carolina, that was about as well as they played in a while, and they led very late, and I think they are getting very, very, very close to breaking through. And once they do break that dam open, I think there'll be a big sigh of relief and they'll start playing much better basketball. You know, they host Tennessee at home coming up as well, and that'll be a game with a ton of emotion. And I'm not saying they're going to beat Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee is clearly head and shoulders above the rest. But that'll be a game of emotion, a rivalry game. I think they'll play well in that one. I mean, you know, I go back to that Kentucky game. They were on the road. They led at halftime. It was a tied game very, very late. They've shown they can hang. They just have to get over that hump. So I would expect them to play well Saturday. I won't go out on that limb and say they're going to win Saturday, but I think they'll be in it at the end to give themselves a chance to win.